Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the text. Christ gives us the sure promise, ask and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. What a wonderful promise. The promise that he will answer prayer. However, it's also one of the most misapplied and misunderstood texts in all of Scripture. We get excited when we hear Jesus teaching his disciples about prayer and saying, "For everyone who asks, receives." We hear this one verse and say, "All right, I've got a long list." As if God were Santa Claus and every day was Christmas. This time of year, there are numerous prayers offered up on behalf of teams like the Cubs or the Cardinals. In my sinfulness, I would love to draw some seemingly obvious conclusions about prayer. However, that is not the way that God operates. He does not bless those he loves and curse those he hates with material blessings or material hardships. Our pagan world thinks that God should operate under the rules of karma. You know, if you do good things will happen to you. And that is the lie that is told by many a TV preacher. Oh, how they love to pass that one along. That's not what Jesus promises. And the gospel of prosperity that your TV preachers proclaim is not the gospel. Now, this is not an attempt to discourage you from offering prayers in any and every occasion. The Lord often chooses to answer prayers offered on behalf of our sports teams or to give us material blessings that are more than our daily bread. However, those frivolous petitions that we offer, such as, you know, "Please, Lord, let my team win," does not have the promise, "Ask and you shall receive," connected to it. Such requests are not what Jesus had in mind when he teaches the disciples to pray. But then we ask, what about our prayers that are not frivolous? We pray for a loved one who is sick, or injured, or dying. Yet those we love still die. We pray for safety for ourselves and our children. Yet tragedy strikes. Why does God not answer all of these prayers the way that we ask him to? He certainly answers some of them. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah was granted a 15-year extension on his life when he prayed to the Lord. Martin Luther prayed vigorously for his young associate, Philip Melanchthon, who was near death from an illness. Luther says he didn't just pray and ask God. He told God that Philip can't die, otherwise the Reformation would fail. He demanded that God heal Philip. And his life was spared at that time. Never doubt that the Lord hears your prayers. And he often answers your prayers in the way that you would like him to. However, sometimes that for which we pray is not beneficial in the long run, and therefore is not God's will. And you have to remember that the long run has an eternal aspect. God is always looking out for your best interest in the long run. Therefore, prayers for material blessings, physical blessings, they do not have the guarantee, "Ask and you shall receive," connected with them. Remember St. Paul's prayers as recorded in 2 Corinthians. He recalls that he pleaded with the Lord three times. that he would take away his thorn in the flesh. But rather than relieving Paul of whatever it was that was causing him such difficulties, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul, suffering from weaknesses or tragedies or whatever it was, were beneficial for him and others in the long run. Rather than giving Paul physical aid, as he had asked, he gave him spiritual aid, which the Lord never withholds from his people. And those are the prayers to which the promise, "Ask and you shall receive," is joined. When teaching us to pray, Jesus tells us that, you know, even sinful, evil people like you and me, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" When Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray for an increase of the strength of our faith. He taught us to pray for the Holy Spirit to play a larger role in our life. And we see this everywhere in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that God's name is hallowed. That is, that God's name remains holy in our lives. That the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. That others may hear the real gospel. And that God's word and his name is not profaned among us. We pray that God's kingdom would come. And God's kingdom comes when he sends his Holy Spirit. So that by his grace, we believe God's word. And we lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity, as Luther says in the Catechism. And we focus, you know, the focus of this is really on the eternity side of it more than our brief experience with time. We pray that his will, not our will, but his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," which is the only petition that has anything to do with any physical blessing. We pray for forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray that the Lord would forgive our sins, even though we do not deserve to be forgiven. And we ask that he would send his Holy Spirit, that in our hearts we would have the grace and strength to sincerely forgive and gladly do good to everyone who has sinned against us, even though they do not deserve to be forgiven. And finally, we pray that the Lord would guard and keep us free of temptation, that Satan, the world, and our sinful nature would not be able to deceive us and cause us to be separated from the love and grace of God. And finally, we pray that he would rescue us from every evil. All of the evil that we endure in this time we have on earth, but even more so when our last hour comes, that he would give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. These are the things for which the Lord taught us to pray. Christ has given us the promise that he will send his Holy Spirit to those who ask. Ask and you will receive. When we are faced with the difficult situations, the illnesses, family problems, or even the most devastating tragedies, pray. Pray to the Lord that these problems will be taken away, Even when we know that certain events and conditions cannot be fixed, pray. The Lord often answers our prayers in the way that we want Him to. But more importantly, when faced with the struggles of this sinful world, pray that the Lord gives you the strength of His Spirit, the patience, the grace, the comfort that only He can give. It is our faith in Christ that is our greatest faith when we are faced with the ugliness of sin. And we thank our Lord that the kingdom of God has come into our lives, that we have the joy of the gospel, the sure hope of the resurrection. We thank the Lord for sending His Son to suffer and die and rise again, so that our Father does forgive the trespasses of undeserving sinners like you and me, and that through His Holy Spirit we have the strength and grace to forgive those undeserving sinners who sin against us. We also pray that the Holy Spirit would keep us in that one true faith to our dying day. And when our last hour comes, that He would give us a blessed end and take us from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. So like the disciples, we also say, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.